This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the House Freedom Caucus has a new leader. The conservative collection of congressmen unanimously selected North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows. What will the conservative conscience of the House be focused on in the new Congress? Congressman Meadows is here in just a moment with the answer. And the Trump administration has announced more cabinet picks, selecting retired Marine General John Kelly as Secretary of Homeland Security. This is the third retired general selected by President-elect Trump. Retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin is here with his analysis. And is the comptroller for the state of Connecticut misusing his office for personal reasons by threatening to not recognize the American Family Association as a charity because of their opposition to Target's gender-free-for-all bathroom policy? Well, our good friend Tim Wildman, president of AFA, will be here a little bit later on Washington Watch. The website, you know what it is? It's TonyPerkins.com, and you can email me there at the website. Lots of resources there for you as well. And if you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, as I mentioned, the House Freedom Caucus has a new leader, and it's not just any leader. It's a strong conservative leader who I've known for many, many years, and I could not be happier. Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, he is going to be replacing two-term chairman Representative Jim Jordan, another great conservative from Ohio. And Mark serves on the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, made a huge impact in his short time on Capitol Hill, and he joins us now. Mark, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be back with you on Washington Watch, and thank you for always making sure that there's a voice for conservative, God-fearing patriots out there. It's great to be with you.
Well, Mark, I know it's been, you were elected in 2012. Some days that seems like a short time. Other times it seems like a long time ago. But you have had a huge impact, and it's just an example of how one person can make a difference. Running in a very crowded primary, you won in your first race and have quickly become a leader in Congress. And I want you to, for our listeners who may be new, now you've been on the program many times, we probably recognize you, but for the benefit of our listeners, tell them what the House, the Freedom Caucus is, its purpose and mission.
Well, the House Freedom Caucus really was something that Jim Jordan and I established along with a few other members to try to give a voice for millions of Americans who felt like Washington, D.C. had stopped listening to them and really wanted to promote conservative Christian values going forward. For me, I ran as a conservative Christian, and yet so many times in Washington, D.C., you know all too well, Tony, it's the special interest groups that get most of the attention. So we established it to be someone who would push not only the other party but our own party to do the right thing. And it's about 40 members who are committed to holding up the conservative Judeo-Christian values in our Constitution to make sure that America gets returned to its rightful owner, the American people.
Yeah, to give our folks kind of a sense of the conservative foundation here, I believe one of the original meetings for the concept was held in our conference room, my conference room, to discuss this this concept over dinner a number of years ago. And now it's reality. It's having a significant impact on the direction of Congress, the leadership. It's kind of, as I mentioned, I think the conservative conscience of the House. What's the priorities for the Freedom Caucus going into the new Congress?
Well, we've got two priorities that are running on parallel tracks. One is to repeal Obamacare. The other is to defund Planned Parenthood. And I can tell you that we're working actually on plans to do both of those things, but to make sure that part of our budget reconciliation instructions deals with that, and that we do it right away. You know, in Congress, everybody wants to wait, and they want to say, well, we'll fight another day. The American people, and quite frankly, I'm tired of waiting. It is time for action, and I believe in this new administration, We're going to be able to cheer a lot of victories. I'm very optimistic. We need to continue to pray. And you're right. The foundation of the Freedom Caucus started right there prayerfully with you at FRC, and we need to continue to have the prayers of your listeners and other like-minded people across the country.
It's interesting, Mark, you say that, you know, you're tired of waiting, tired of moving slowly. We got to move quickly. I actually had a meeting earlier today with Vice President-elect Mike Pence, and that was a comment that he had heard. Somebody said, well, you know, you got to be careful, go slow. And he goes, man, the American people are tired of waiting. They want to get it done. And you have been kind of a conservative folk hero to many because you were the one that introduced the motion to vacate the chair, which led to John Boehner stepping aside as speaker. And that was because of the inability to get things done. What do you think the leadership is going to do now that we have Donald Trump in the White House? Are we going to see things moving forward?
Well, I do think that we will see things moving forward. I think there's a natural tendency, Tony, to slow things down, and that's why your listeners need to weigh in. I can tell you I had a meeting with the speaker this week because we had been very public in the fact that we believe that Obamacare needs to be repealed and a replacement option be put in place in this Congress. And it met with resistance both within our leadership and in the Senate. And I met with them to stress that that's a non-negotiable item. We've got to get it done, and we've got to deal with Planned Parenthood as well. And so I am cautiously optimistic. Donald Trump's putting some great people in his cabinet. He is listening to conservatives, and so for many who doubted whether he would do that, I think the results speak for themselves.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, joined by Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina. He is the new chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. It's the conservative caucus in the House. There's the House Republican, the Republican Study Committee, that's generally a conservative group. But this is the unwavering conservatives on fiscal policy, social policy, foreign policy, and they're having a significant influence on the direction of the leadership. You mentioned the reconciliation measure, which Donald Trump, with just a majority vote in the Senate, can basically eliminate a lot of Obamacare and the funding to organizations that are engaged in abortion. That really, it's already passed Congress once, so that should be a no-brainer that it can be done again. What's next on the agenda that you think is most important that the administration move forward on?
Well, I think that you've got really two or three other items. Obviously, a secure border was a priority to the American people to make sure that we have that. But alongside of that are two other areas, is real tax reform to make sure that families get good-paying jobs and it protects the family. And the other is our veterans and our military strength. All of those can run along, on parallel tracks. But I think the other interesting thing is, and I know we're staying in Washington, D.C. a bit longer, so that we can be prepared with bills that actually do exactly that. But on reconciliation, we're actually going to have two bites at the apple. We're going to have the 2017 budget reconciliation instructions and the 2018, both of which we'll be able to bring up. And so I think you'll see tax reform as well as making sure that some of the remaining parts of Planned Parenthood and the Affordable Care Act are all addressed in that first 200 days.
When you look at the year, the legislative year, you really only have between January and July. So you got 6 months.
Right.
And then you go into an August break, and then you come back for a couple of months at the end of the year. And the real intensity is going to be in that first 6 months. What do you expect to see this administration and this Congress actually get done by the time you leave town in August for the summer recess?
Well, I see four things getting done. I do see a repeal of Obamacare that puts in place the fact that we'll have a sunset provision. I don't necessarily see the replacement of that getting done in that time frame. I do see an infrastructure bill that is fiscally responsible getting passed in that first 200 days. Additionally, really addressing our military strength gets addressed, and then ultimately the veterans' benefits and being able to hopefully streamline that. So very aggressive, but I think Congress needs to work around the clock. You know, it's had a very, what I would say, easy schedule coming from the business world, and it's time the American people are ready for us to go to work. Vice President Pence told us to buckle up. I, for one, am buckled up and ready to put my foot on the gas.
I think, Congressman Meadows, I think it's absolutely critical. If you can accomplish those four items, and of course there will be some other things, but those are the big ticket items in that first 6 months, then I actually think what you're doing, you're buying forward trust with the American people so that you can actually move into the second part of that year and into the next legislative year to accomplish even more. But if you fail to accomplish those big ticket items that were central to the campaign of Donald Trump, then I think you're going to quickly start to lose the support of the American people, and it's going to be much harder to pass the second part of that agenda.
Well, I agree with you. You're exactly right, Tony. There's a deficit of trust in Washington, D.C., and there should be a deficit of trust. We've not really fulfilled that. The other thing that we're actually giving to the Trump administration is right now the list is at 232 rules and regulations that were an overreach by the executive branch that we're asking Donald Trump to sign, maybe not the first day, but certainly within the first 100 days, to actually put people back to work, to allow our economy to accelerate and be robust again. And so all of that, you're right, if we make that as a down payment, then I think that they will give us a second chance to get a few other things done that are critical to families and patriots across the country.
All right, Congressman Mark Meadows, again, congratulations on being selected as chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, and great to talk with you, and you and Debbie have a great Christmas if I don't talk to you before.
Well, God bless you, Tony. Thank you for your prayer support. Thank you for your friendship. Thank the listeners for all they do for the cause of freedom. Ask them to continue to pray for our country, and Merry Christmas to you and your family as well.
All right, absolutely. Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina. To find out more about his new role as chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. Let me just, you know, as he was saying that Vice President-elect Mike Pence told Congress to buckle up and get ready, I'm going to say the same thing. When we come back in January the 3rd, when the new Congress comes back in, they're going to be sworn in early so they can go right to work. We've got 6 months to make these changes, and it's going to be trench warfare, hand-to-hand combat, however you want to describe it. It's going to be intense, and we need everybody. That means you, everybody. We're going to need you to pray, as Congressman Meadows was saying. Make the phone calls. Push your reluctant congressman, especially if you have those that are of the opposition party. All hands on deck. All right, don't go away. When we come back, General Jerry Boykin joins us to talk about Donald Trump's third general for his cabinet. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Don't go away. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Hey, our Holy Land tour in March is filling up. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We only go one time a year to Israel, and that's in March, and our tour leaves the 9th. And gets back on the 17th. And as I say, we don't have a whole lot of space left on this tour. So if you'd like to go with us and see the Holy Land, you need to give us a call at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, with an S, option 5, and leave us your name and your address. We'll send you a brochure. Or go online at twholyland.com, twholyland.com. Again, we're going to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Jericho and Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River all those places, and much, much more. So join us on this very special tour of Israel in March.
Are you concerned about the future? The AFA Foundation can help. End-of-year giving allows you to offset your current taxable income, providing you with valuable tax savings on this year's return. And your generous gift will help further the mission of AFA to inform, equip, and motivate people in the culture war for years to come. Through the AFA Foundation, you're supporting the work of the American Family Association by helping individuals and families leave a legacy to help stem the tide of secularism and rebuild our Christian foundations. As the end of the year approaches, carefully considering what to give and when to give it can increase the impact of your gift while still meeting your own needs as well. For example, with a cash donation, your itemized tax return may allow you to receive up to the full value of your charitable gift. Contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, at our website, afafoundation.net, or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing, he had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife Jenny was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Merry Christmas. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. Hey, by the way, if you're looking for that special Christmas present for the person who has everything, the Family Research Council, and next July, is doing a free-to-believe Alaskan cruise. And you can find out more at the website, TonyPerkins.com. Hey, that's for the person that has everything. Buy them a spot on the cruise. Great lineup of guests that'll be a part of that. It'll be a lot of fun. Anyway, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, to find out more about that. President-elect Donald Trump has nominated his third retired general. Retired Marine General John Kelly has been selected as the Secretary for the Department of Homeland Security. That's three generals now that's going to be surrounding the incoming president. Here to talk about that is our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. I like to surround myself with generals too. I think they're good to have around. He served in the United States Army for 36 and a half years. He's now the Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council. He was a founding member of Delta Force, and he joins me now to discuss the president's pick. General Boykin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, and just let me point out to the listeners that you did not get a Marine general. You got an Army general, so at least your taste is good.
Well, yeah, okay. All right. But you notice that Donald Trump has he's selected now two Marine generals and one Army general.
Well, I think that Donald was probably looking for people that were not more intelligent than he is. Obviously the choice is simple.
Well, that's right, because he didn't choose sergeants. I'm waiting for the first Marine sergeant to be selected in his cabinet. So,
yeah.
Well, let's talk about this. You know, some people are saying, wait a minute. This is too many military guys. What's going on here? Let's talk about that unique situation where we've actually seen a lot of, well, an expansion of the threat under the negligence of this administration. Is this necessary to try to keep America safe and to address these issues that Homeland Security will be faced with?
Yeah, I think there's three issues here. I'm sensitive to the fact that he's chosen three generals, but look at where he's putting them. He's putting them in what is the number one priority for the president, and that is national security.
Mm-hmm.
You got the National Security Advisor, the Department of Defense, and the Department of Homeland Security. So I think he's sending a very strong message to America in general that, unlike the previous president, he's taking this very seriously. The second point is, I think that he's looking for leadership. I think that he has been told by people inside these departments that morale is very low, and it is due to not only his agenda, but it's due to a lack of leadership. So I think that's it. I think that's the second issue. And the third issue is, I think that he's choosing people that have a history of service to the country under difficult circumstances. And all three of these people have seen combat up close and personal. So they have experienced leadership under the most difficult of situations. And if you want to turn things around in these departments, I think that these are good choices.
Well, I get the Department of Defense, although we are a civilian-led military, so that's raised some questions. And but I get that, what you're talking about. And I'm hoping that the incoming leadership there will correct some of the grave errors that this administration has made. But I want to go to Homeland Security because, I spent time in the Marine Corps, but I was also a police officer. Homeland Security is more of a domestic law enforcement versus a military. How difficult of a transition is that going to be for a Marine general?
Well, now that's a very good question, because remember, there's about 200,000 people in the Department of Homeland Security with all the federal law enforcement agencies, except the FBI. And I don't think that it's just as simple as some might think, because there is a huge difference between the military and law enforcement. And I learned that a long time ago working with the FBI and the Secret Service and even the Border Patrol. There is a big difference. So it is going to take a lot of agility, and he's going to need a deputy that is a longtime law enforcement officer that understands the law enforcement aspects. But don't forget that General Kelly was the commander of the U.S. Southern Command. As such, he actually had a law enforcement responsibility, if you will, in that he was responsible for some counter-narcotics operations and certainly protecting our international waters and that type of thing. So he does have some experience in that, but it's not. I have the same concern that he's going to have to come in with an open mind. He's going to have a good deputy and some good law enforcement people around him to help him make that transition from, military procedures and military methodologies and that type of thing, because it doesn't overlay perfectly on a law enforcement organization.
So what's your just kind of your at first glance, Donald Trump, businessman, not a politician, successful businessman, and he's spoken very highly of military leaders, and now he's putting them prominently in his cabinet. What's your takeaway from that?
Well, first of all, I think he trusts him, and he's had some general officers that were very close to him through the entire campaign, so I think he trusts them. I think the second thing is that he knows that they are committed, that they will put the country first. That is not something that, we have seen a lot of in this administration under Barack Obama. So I think that those two things have probably been two of the influencers that have caused him to select these generals for these very important positions.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to watch as he rounds out his cabinet. Just a few picks left. General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony.
And no matter what they say, you're still my favorite general, all right?
I'm glad to hear that. Thanks.
All right. And I'm his favorite sergeant, too, okay? All right, folks, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. When we come back, is the comptroller in the state of Connecticut misusing the authority of his office by attempting to deny the American Family Association their charitable status because they oppose Target's crazy bathroom policy? We'll find out more about that when we're joined by the president of the American Family Association, Tim Wildman, on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Well, we're watching the markets hit new record highs once again as we head into 30 days since the last election, and it is amazing what has happened in 30 days. We have seen more confidence, more enthusiasm, more excitement, more spending, more penned-up investment come into the market in the last 30 days than we've seen in the last 8 years. It is amazing as we look at it. But we also got some interesting economic news. First of all, everyone is wondering whether equities can sustain this growth. It is one thing to have this kind of growth. Can we sustain it through 2017? And really, I think it's anyone's guess at this point, and probably going to be a little bit difficult to make that call. But I suspect through 2017 and into 2018, we will certainly have a market that is full of more confidence and enthusiasm based on some pro-growth policies than we have seen in a very long time. Some interesting news coming out today, though, indicating that restaurant traffic has declined for the first time in 5 years. First of all, fast food restaurants have declined 1% in the third quarter. And again, that is the first decline in 5 years. But along with that, all restaurants were down 1%. Now, this is a factor that we look at when we see concern about an economy, or is it just buying habits of consumers changing in a positive way?
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right. The Connecticut State Comptroller says the Mississippi-based American Family Association may get removed from its list of approved not-for-profits eligible for donations through the state's charitable giving program for state employees. So this guy's, he's got his list. He's checking it twice. And he calls up Tim Wildman and says, hey, I'm going to knock you off the list. But there's more to the story here. Joining me now to tell us about it is the president of the American Family Association, my good friend Tim Wildman. Tim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
Well, how's the weather down there in Tupelo?
It's I guess everything's relative, but it's going to get down to the mid-lower 20s, even 19 tonight. I know when you say that, people in Chicago, Minnesota start laughing.
Well, they get worried when you say it's going to be Tupelo and Tupelo. Then it's time to get worried.
People ask me where we live. I say it's Tupelo. It's right below one below. That's bad. It's a bad old joke, but, hey, it works once.
Well, it works in Mississippi.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about Connecticut.
What did that mean? Am I supposed to be offended by what you said?
No, okay. No, you cannot be offended.
Okay.
You're
all
from
right.
Mississippi.
Go ahead.
You can't be offended. Let's go to Connecticut. Let's go to Connecticut, where apparently they are offended.
Right.
They're offended
right.
that you're offended that
right.
Target has a crazy bathroom yeah. policy. Yeah. And what does that have to do with the state of Connecticut?
Well, this fella, his name is Kevin Lembo, L-E-M-B-O. Got a letter from him dated November 30th. On State of Connecticut letterhead, and it has the seal of the state, and his name on here, he is a elected official, a state comptroller, which in a lot of states, that's the equivalent of a state treasurer. So he sends us this letter. First letter we've ever got of this type, especially on the official state letterhead of any state. And it says basically that this gentleman who's responsible for overseeing this this program where state employees can give charitable donations, says that he disagrees with us on our Target boycott. He looked at our website, okay, and then he gets down here and he says to me, he doesn't like the things we have to say about homosexuality or what Target did with allowing men into boys into women's restrooms and changing areas. So he goes through two or three things that he objects to on our website, all right? And then he says this, quote, "These actions and statements are extremely troubling to me, not only as an openly gay father and spouse, but as an administrator of the CSEC. The AFA statements and mission not only appear to discriminate against the LGBTQ communities, as well as Muslims who choose to serve and protect our country by enlisting in the U.S. military, but it remains unclear what actual charitable services the AFA provides that qualifies it to participate in our program." So, bottom line is, this fellow is opening an investigation of American Family Association as to whether we're a legitimate charity or not, and he is threatening to disqualify us because he's a gay man, and he finds it offensive that we, object to things of the LGBT political social agenda that he thinks are acceptable. So that's he's making it personal.
Well, it sounds like you should be opening an investigation into his misuse of his office for personal purposes. Because what he is doing now is he has interjected himself into this thing that as a gay man who is married and has children, that he does not think that you as a nonprofit organization should have the right to speak about your biblical views on sexuality and marriage.
That's exactly right. He's making this personal. He's now, by the way, we are a registered and approved charity in the state of Connecticut and have been for as long as I can remember. That Family Research Council, you have to do the same thing we have to do as all charities do. You have to register with the various states annually, most of them, sometimes every
and
2 years.
And it's a pain, let me tell you.
It's a pain. You got to keep up with it. You got to do it. You got to meet the requirements.
It's just
of each
a way
state.
For them actually to collect money because they charge you to be able to communicate with people in their state.
Well, that's true. That's true. Some of them, ostensibly, they would say it's to prevent fraud by false charities. But I think it's in many ways it's a tax.
It's a scheme.
It's a scheme. It's a shakedown.
Yeah.
But now we're also approved by the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, as a 501c3 tax exempt organization.
How'd she let you through? How did Miss
Lerner,
Lois Lerner,
let
you through?
We got in before Lois Lerner. Okay. Yeah, we got in before Lois Lerner. But you know, Tony, the thing about this letter is that we haven't decided exactly how we're going to respond yet. We did ask a lot of our listeners.
Well, I think we need a road trip
to Connecticut.
Yeah, let's go on a road trip
in the winter. I think we need to delay this to May. There's something for me, but this
hey,
guy.
Hey, hold on. You hear that music in the background?
Yeah, I know what that means.
What does it mean?
Even though I'm from Mississippi.
What does it mean?
It means it's time for a break.
It's time for a break. It's time to pay the bills. You hold on there because I want to finish this conversation on the other side of this because I want to find out what can our listeners do to help our good friends at the American Family Association. Can you do that?
Yes.
All right, my good friend Tim Wildman is holding on there in Tupelo, Mississippi, to finish our conversation about this comptroller in Connecticut. All right, so you stand by as well, and we're going to finish this conversation on what our listeners across the country can do in all seriousness, to protect the rights of nonprofit Christian organizations. This is going to be an increasingly dangerous world for Christians to operate in, and we got to stand up. So don't go away. We're back right after this.
Can a Facebook post save a life? Or a tweet or an Instagram picture? At Family Research Council's 12th annual Pro-Life Con Digital Action Summit, pro-life activists from around the country will gather to explore the impact that digital media has on the culture of human life. Watch free online the morning of Friday, January 27th from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, activists, and testimonies from families and individuals who choose life. At the intersection of cutting-edge technology and a passion for the lives of the unborn, you'll be educated and empowered to better reach your community on platforms like Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and more. You'll be better prepared to make an impact for the pro-life movement anytime and anywhere. Also, see live coverage from the National Mall as the March for Life gets underway. Tune in on January 27th at frc.org/prolifecon. Again, visit frc.org/prolifecon for more information.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
You experienced a call to ministry later in life, and now you're in a second career. You like to call it your calling. You know you need more preparation, but how? Where? Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, where an online Master of Divinity degree can be tailor-made for you. Small class size, individual attention, learning opportunities that fit your busy schedule. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where we equip the called. WBS.edu.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Abortion is real genocide, and it's been like that for years. Those aren't the words of an anti-abortion activist. That's a quote from actor, rap artist, and producer Nick Cannon. The winner of an NAACP Image Award in 2012 doubled down on his comments after controversy began to brew, calling abortion population control and modern-day eugenics. Cannon was likely referring to the eugenicist founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, who once said she did not want the word to go out that she wanted to exterminate the black population. In spite of being only 13% of the population, black women undergo 36% of abortion procedures. Unfortunately for Ms. Sanger and her organization, the word is out, and it's encouraging now to see it being broadcast by those in the mainstream entertainment world. Let's pray more catch on. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Yes, it is. Welcome back. I'm Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch. My guest, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association. Tim, you know who that was singing?
That was the late, great Bing Crosby.
You're absolutely right, my friend. You win a coffee mug from Washington Watch. I'll be sure and get it in the mail to you right away.
I'll be looking for it.
Okay, all right. All right, let's talk. We're talking about the comptroller in the state of Connecticut, yeah. Kevin Limbo. Who in his letter opening an investigation challenging the charitable status of the American Family Association, mm-hmm. acknowledging that he is gay and that he doesn't like your policies on mm-hmm. Sexuality and that your opposition to Target. Mm-hmm. So what are you asking the listeners to do on this?
Well, if you want to read more about it, I don't know if you've got it posted at your Facebook page.
I do. I have it. I have a link on.
All right, tell us where.
Well, TonyPerkins.com, I just got a link over to your site to show that. But if you've got someplace else to go to, tell our
people. No, that's fine.
Tell them where to go.
AFA.net is good, too. AFA.net, we got the story there, AFA.net. What you can do, you can pray for Mr. Limbo, L-E-M-B-O. He's the comptroller there. Pray that he would quit this witch hunt against American Family Association. Number two, you can call his office and just say, I disagree with you, and I stand with American Family Association. If you call his office, please be nice.
You got that phone number?
The receptionist is not the problem. It's Mr. Limbo's. Mr. Limbo. The phone number is 860, that's Connecticut, 860-702-3300. Now, you may get a busy signal because he said to the media yesterday he's not been able to do any business. Because people have been calling.
Well, given what he's been doing, he doesn't need to be doing any business.
Duly noted, Tony.
Yeah.
86, here's the phone number for his office again. Please.
So connect with Connecticut, here's the number.
860-702-3300. That rings his office. He's the state comptroller for Connecticut. Now, that's a elected position in the state of Connecticut, and he needs to withdraw this letter. Tony, let me just say on a more serious note, this is, you know, if this were just a matter of money, we don't get much money at all from state employees in Connecticut. So we would just throw this letter in the trash can and forget about it. But the problem is that if this kind of thing continues, that we're going to find groups like ours getting letters from other state officials, our law enforcement people, and threatening us to take away or to deny or to require us or to pay a fine or whatever because we're a hate group or such and such. I would say this. Had Hillary Clinton won the presidency, I'm convinced we would be getting a letter like this from the Justice Department.
Without question. You are absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Don't you think so? You've been in this long time.
In fact, that was one of the things that I had told people, that I believed that Hillary Clinton would have won this election.
Yes.
That organizations like yours, ours, and others would have seen their tax-exempt status be
taken been targeted.
Away.
We would have been targeted.
Without question. Yeah. Without question. But here's to your point, and that's why we're talking about this. I mean, Connecticut, not a big state to begin with. We're talking about state employees. The money, the amount of money that people make in charitable contributions to the American Family Association from Connecticut is not the issue. The issue is that you have this this state official who has interjected his personal view of sexuality and marriage and is speaking for the entire state of Connecticut and choosing who is a legitimate nonprofit in his mind and who
is
not.
Well, he's basically saying we're a discriminatory organization. Prove that you're not.
Yeah.
That's what he's basically saying. And he cites these. What he did, it's kind of amateurish, quite frankly. This is the state comptroller, and he basically just goes on our website sometime last week, finds two or three things he doesn't like because he's a gay man and you know, we don't support that lifestyle. And so he says, I'm going to find two or three things here I can pick on them about and give them a hard time just because I can, because I'm an elected official here and nobody's going to stop me. So,
well, again, as I said, I think an investigation needs to be opened up to him on him as to whether or not he has used his office of comptroller for personal purposes, and that is to drive his personal agenda, which he interjected in his letter.
Yes, he did. We'll tell you where this goes. Again, we haven't decided exactly how we're going to respond yet to him, but we are asking our folks to let him know how they feel about this.
All right. Well, let me know if you're going to take a road trip.
Okay. In May, maybe.
All right. Tim Wildman, always great to talk with you. Bye. Thanks so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
All right. Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. All right. Yesterday, a lot of you didn't get in on the conversation you wanted to, but we ran out of time. Christmas traditions. So if you want to call in this afternoon, we're going to continue that conversation. Favorite Christmas traditions. I know we've been talking heavy stuff policy and so on and so forth. But it's Christmas, trying to get everybody in the mood. Also, we'll wrap into that because it is Thursday, Thankful Thursday. Anything you're thankful for, all right? So, I mean, what a menu today. You can talk about Christmas traditions. You can talk about what you're thankful for. Wow. So we're going to open the phone lines, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234, and we're going to go to Tennessee, where John is on the line to talk about a favorite Christmas tradition. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks for taking my call. Yeah, a couple of things we've always done is when the kids were little, every Christmas we would make a birthday cake for Jesus, and just to keep the reason for the season centered in our minds and our lives. And my wife would always go, and we would purchase a unique Christmas ornament every year. And there was four of us and two sons, and we would make a custom ornament for each year. And we saved those through the years. And when the kids got grown and married and out of the house, we actually took their ornaments and gave them to them so they could continue the tradition on with their families.
Wow, that's neat. That's neat. And I like the idea of the birthday cake. We did that a couple of times, but that's really neat in terms of keeping the focus on what Christmas is all about, celebrating the birthday of Jesus. John, thanks so much for listening and calling in. I mean, look how that's being passed on, you know, one generation to the next, and then his sons as they, you know, continue that tradition. We have, and we weren't able to do it this year because we actually can't find it because of the flood, and our Christmas tree is actually outside. We've had to pick it up a few times because the wind has blown it over, and we've had to get plastic ornaments because they roll all around. We didn't want them breaking. But we have, and I'm glad we haven't found it because now that the tree's fallen over a couple times, it would have broken. But we have a star. It's an old, old star. And I usually pick up one of the kids, and I'm not going to be able to do that much longer because our youngest Samuel's 9 now, and he's getting bigger. But we have a star that was my grandmother's. It was passed on to my dad. We had it when I was a kid. It's a very, very simplistic, rustic star with 5 light bulbs that screws into it, but it was made back during World War II when things were kind of lean. And that's what we put on top our tree every year. And in fact, that's the last thing that I put on the tree after everyone else does all the decorations. And then I put the star on top with one of the kids. So that's one of those traditions like that. John, thanks so much for the call again. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Texas, where Josh is on the line. Josh, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you so much. I just wanted to share a little bit about why Christmas is so special to me. Growing up, my family never celebrated Christmas because we were Jehovah's Witnesses. And
uh-oh, we're losing Josh. Josh, if you can hear me, we lost you. Let's try to get Josh back because I want to hear the rest of that story. In the meantime, while we're working on getting Josh back, let's go to California where Rosita, is that right?
Rodica?
Rosita, come. Welcome. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. I would like to talk about the Christmas in Europe in a communist country when presents were rare, but the joy was multiplied by our love for Christmas and for Christ. And I remember I come from Transylvania, so winters were really cold, and it was like a God present. Every Christmas we're gonna snow, and everything was white and crispy. And we met a church, and we were walking all night long till 5 o'clock in the morning when we had to go to work or to school, because in communist country they didn't have a day off for Christmas. And it was interesting because we went caroling to friends and family and friends of the friends, anybody who wanted to. We used to sing at the door or at the window. Some of them invited us in and treated us with something, and we were very happy. I remember if it was earlier and we got on the bus, sometimes the people on the bus would not charge us and would ask us to sing. People were so hungry to hear about God, to hear about Jesus. And for Christmas, even the police stayed quiet and listened to you know, some of them were raised in a Christian families, and mm-hmm. they would love to hear something about God, something about Christmas. I remember one year we were 5 of us in a high school, and we decided to go caroling to one of the teachers that was very nice with us. And I remember we went to the apartment. It was the second or third floor, and we were very quiet, and we start singing Silent Night on 4 voices. Very nice. She opened the door, and tears were coming down her face. Now I'm talking about communist country, people that, you know, were communist. But somewhere deep inside them, they still have something right there, you know. And when we left, she asked us to sing two more songs, and we did. And when I left, she put some money into my hand, and it was a lot of money for us. And you know when God is giving you the right words at the right time, the Bible say that, that at the right time God was going to give you the words. I said, no, ma'am, we came to bring you something, not to talk, to take away.
Wow.
So this is one of the best memories I have for Christmas.
Well, and it's such a great concept to be able to, you know, in a country that is so blessed as America and the freedoms that we enjoy that, you know, frankly, I think we were very close to losing and still not out of the woods yet. But to be able to compare that in from where you have come and to look back on that and see what Christmas was at its core, wasn't the gifts, didn't have any, wasn't all the trappings and the wrappings. It was the essence of Christmas. It is the core of Christmas. It's Jesus Christ. And I think, you know, somehow or in some ways, people that have that understanding have a richer, fuller, more satisfying understanding of Christmas than those that have all of the material things that money can buy. And they miss the real meaning of Christmas. The purpose that we celebrate is to celebrate the gift of God's Son. God Himself sending His Son to this earth as a gift to mankind, if we'll simply receive it, the forgiveness of our sins, and receive the abundant life that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a gift that surpasses anything that money can buy. Rosita, thank you so much for calling and sharing that story. Folks, we're almost out of time, but I'm going to continue this on Monday. I'm going to be out. Eben Fowler is going to be in for me tomorrow. But I'll be back on Monday, and I think we're going to spend most of the day just talking about these Christmas traditions because, you know, yesterday we were talking about it. And we had some folks that just, you know, hadn't been doing those Christmas traditions, and it prompted them to think and begin starting traditions or reviving traditions. And I always say traditions in a good sense, you know, those things we do together to make memories, to instill in our children a sense of connectedness. And that's what traditions are. They're kind of they're that connectedness, that building of community, that shared experience that's passed from one generation to the next. And those things, they may be simple, they may be small, may cost nothing at all, but they mean the world. In those moments when you look back on them, you look back on with great fondness and joy on those things. So, folks, sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls, but I am telling you, Monday we're going to spend a good bit of time just talking about these Christmas traditions. And I'm hoping that you're engaging in some of those. All right? All right, we're out of time, but it's been a great day. Thanks so much for tuning in to Washington Watch. I do encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me at tperkins. Until next time, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.